Alrighty.
Haxamea again. And here we are, day one, Sukkot 2022. Twos across the board. So praise Yahweh for that. I have a message today called Yahweh's Year of Release. And I'd like to speak about that today, about the Year of Release, which is extremely important, what it means in our life, and maybe some deeper things that we may have or may not have thought about. So, especially now, I believe the Shemitah has always been important, or Yahweh wouldn't have put it in there, you know, for various reasons. The same way with the Sabbath, it's important to rest our bodies and rest, you know, the workers and everything every seventh day. It's also important to rest the land every seventh year, as we know it, you know, that soils get depleted and different things that happen. But as I spoke about many times, the Shemitah, the year of release, is also a very, very important prophetic time. You know, extremely important. And I think when you really understand the patterns of seven and the cycles of seven, you really understand how it's a way that Yahweh is telling his people in the end time what's coming and how it's going to come. So here we are, you know, in this important time. And we don't know, because we know after seven sevens, right, the Jubilee comes. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow a little bit. But which seven are we in? Is it the first seven, the second seven, the third seven, the fourth seven? We really don't know. Now, we do know we're not in the first or the second or the third, because we know, you know, from the time that the end time started and where we are, and you can just see it in world events, that we are progressed in that time. So there's a chance, and only Yahweh knows it, because, you know, as human beings, we don't know the day and the hour of Yeshua's return. We do know the times and the seasons, though. But there's a chance that the next time that we're sitting here in the year of release will be the same time that Yeshua returns. And Yeshua will return in the year of release, because he returns before the Jubilee. He doesn't return in the Jubilee year, he returns before the Jubilee. And actually, if you look in Scripture about the bride in the wilderness, you see that Yeshua is actually there with them. He's there with them in there. So, you know, to think about it, as we're going through some of these horrific things in world events now, between diseases and famines, possible world war on the horizon, that in a very short amount of days, months, years, that Yeshua will actually be here. There'll be no more questioning. There'll be no more, I wonder if. There'll be no more, maybe. But he will actually be here on this earth. And we're not talking about 1,000 years or even 100 years or even 50 years. You know, we're talking about in think of how quick. I don't know if you remember the last Shemitah, but to me it was like yesterday. These 7 years went like that, and the time is going quicker. That there's a very good possibility. Now, if it's not the next seven, then it has to be more than likely the seven after that. The point of it is, you know, if you look at Yahweh's word and you look at things that are happening, we are really approaching that day. You know, and the Bible tells us to rejoice when we're approaching it, because that means all the evils we're seeing in this world are going to be done. So this message, Yahweh's year of release, it's not just about, you know, there's two aspects to the Shemitah, the land Sabbath. One is the resting of the land, which I've spoken about many times. I'm not going to talk too much about that today. But today I really want to talk about the year of release. What does that mean? Because it's talking about how is the land Sabbath connected? Why would Yahweh connect resting dirt and not planning to being released, as we're going to see, you know, released from many things, including our sins? Because it all goes back to the curse of Adam. You know, that the land has been cursed from Genesis. But this time we're in today is about the release of that. And that's why Yahweh provides, because Yahweh isn't cursed. You know, there's nothing with Yahweh that's cursed. And this is going to, really, if you accept it, it's a year of real blessing. But it's about removing that curse of Adam that we see from the land. The curse of the thorns and the thistles. And like I've said many times, it's a year of building up. It's a year of tearing down. And that's with nations, you know, it's on a world scale, but it's in our personal life. You know, we had people in our congregation, the last Shemitah, who didn't take it serious and fell away during the Shemitah, you know. And today some of these people don't use the sacred name, they went back on their walk. So we're in a really precarious time that we need to embrace these things because it's really, it's our life. It's our life, it's our calling. So the first scripture I want to go in is Exodus 21, verse 1 and 2. And these are the judgments which you shall put before them. When you buy a Hebrew slave, he will serve 6 years, and in the seventh year he will go out free for nothing. So that's what would happen on Elul 29, is the last day of the sixth month. It's the day before Yom Teruah, Feast of Trumpets, and that is the day that the debts would be released, and that is the day that the slaves would be let go, would be let free. If we go to Deuteronomy 15, we'll read more about this. Deuteronomy 15, starting in verse 1. At the end of every 7 years, you shall make a release. And this is the manner of the release. Everyone who has a loan to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor and his brother, because a release has been proclaimed for Yahweh. You may exact it from a foreigner, but your hand shall release whatever is yours with your brother. Only that there shall be no one in need among you. For Yahweh will greatly bless you in the land that Yahweh your Elohim is giving to you for an inheritance to possess it. Only if you carefully you will listen to the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to take heed to do all his commandments which I am commanding you today. For Yahweh your Elohim will bless you as he promised you. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And you shall rule over many nations, but they shall not rule over you. If there is a poor man among you, one of your brothers, inside any of your gates in your land which Yahweh your Elohim has given to you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your needy brother. But you shall open your hand wide to him, and surely you will lend to him enough for his need and that which he lacks. Beware that there is no evil thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, draws near, and the eye be evil against your needy brother, and you give him nothing. And he cried to Yahweh against you, and it be sin to you. Surely you shall give to him, and your heart shall be grieved when you shall not be grieved when you give to him, because Yahweh your Elohim will bless you for this thing in all your work and in all that you put your hand to do. For the needy will never cease from the midst of the land. On account of this, I command you, saying, opening you will open your hand to your poor and your needy brother in your land. If a brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year you shall let him go free from you. And when you send him out free from you, you shall not let him go away empty. You shall richly adorn him from your flock and from your threshing floor and from your winepress, and from that which Yahweh Elohim has blessed you with, you shall give to him. And you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and Yahweh your Elohim redeemed you. On account of this, I command you this thing today. And it shall be, if he says to you, I will not go out from you, because he loves you and your house, because it was good for him to be with you, then you shall take an awl, and you shall and put it through his ear, and through the door, and he shall be your slave forever. And you shall do so to your slave girl also. It shall not seem hard in your eyes when you send him away free from you. For to the double of the hire of a hireling he has served you 6 years. And Yahweh your Elohim will bless you in all that you do. So again, in the world we live in today, you know, it's hard for us to really understand this concept of slavery because, you know, we don't have it in the way it was in the Bible time. But it wasn't the way, you know, maybe you see in the 1800s and whatever, people in chains and this kind of thing. It was people that were basically workers for people and like family members. And most of the time, the people at the end of the 7 year, they didn't want to leave. Where would they want to go? Where would you go? They're being taken care of, they're given food, and they're like family members. So that's what would happen. If the person wanted to stay, they make a hole in the ear, you know, and they put that in, and the person would stay forever. And again, when we're looking in modern times on the Shemitah, and because most of us are not farmers, you know, we live in a totally different world today. In ancient times, there were no Costco's and Walmarts and all these other great things we have today that people can go and get whatever they need. And most people had to farm to one degree or another. They had to have animals. So the Shemitah was a totally different situation that people had. And for most of us, that's why we're basically going to stores and buying things and storing up for a year. But in the ancient times, it was very different, where the people were basically just living off their own land, but they just weren't cultivating it for that year. You know, they weren't planting, they weren't harvesting, and they weren't pruning, but whatever was out there, you know, the blessing of Yahweh for not only them and not only their animals and their workers, but for anybody that walks by. Because it shows in the Shemitah year that all the land belongs to Yahweh. And that's why, you know, if you're walking down the street and there's a fruit tree there on somebody's property and you pick a piece of fruit in the Shemitah year, you're not stealing. You know, that's what you're commanded to do. You know, there's nothing wrong with it. That's what it's about. And that's the whole reason why people aren't to harvest. They're not to harvest for one simple reason, because once you harvest, there's nothing left there for anybody to pick. You know, so there's no, it's not a command against harvesting. It's a command that there's supposed to be food for everybody to eat. So the planting, yes, there's no planting whatsoever. We shouldn't eat anything that's planted in the Shemitah year. We shouldn't harvest in the Shemitah year on our property, because we should be leaving the things for not only our family, for others to eat. But that's the whole reason it said not to harvest, so that the land can be like the Garden of Eden. It can be back to Eden, where everybody is equal, nobody is above another, everybody will have food, everybody can pick, and there's no curse of Adam that's there. I want to show this in Genesis 22, which isn't really to the Shemitah, but it shows the faith that's involved, because that's really what this is all about. And we know, even though we're doing it differently, I think it takes us just as much faith, maybe more, because, you know, in the ancient days, they didn't have to go out and spend hundreds or maybe thousands of dollars to be purchasing things before the Shemitah to make sure that they had it in the Shemitah year. But it really is a test of faith of, are we believing that Yahweh is our provider this year? So Genesis 22, of course, this is the story of Abraham and Yitzhak. And it happened after these things, the Elohim testing Abraham, and it's interesting that word in the Hebrew means not a test to Abraham, because Yahweh knew what Abraham was going to do, but a test for others. And this story now is here for close to 4,000 years as a test that we see of the faith of Abraham. He said, Abraham, and he said, behold, I am here. And he said, now take your son Isaac, your only one whom you love, and go into the land of Moriah, the land of Moriah. And there offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I will say to you. And you know, there's times in our life where we can't understand things, right? Maybe we don't understand why when we're tithing and we're, you know, honoring Yahweh and we're not working on Sabbath, and maybe you lose your job. Maybe your house even gets foreclosed. Maybe you get sick, or even with cancer, or maybe your child gets cancer, or whatever could happen. There's a lot of things that happen. But, you know, we read through these stories, and do you really think about sometimes what's really going on behind the scene? So here's Abraham at 75 years old, right? He's not a child. He's not a youth. He's 75 years old. He's an old man. And there is no Israel. There is no covenant. There is no promised land. There is no nothing except his friendship with Yahweh. And Yahweh comes and says, Abraham, get up and leave. And what does Abraham do? Does he say, well, why would I have to leave? It's good over here. Why like this? Is there a reason? Where are you sending me to? He doesn't ask anything. He has to trust in Yahweh. Abraham, get up and go. And he gets up and go. There's no question. There's no doubt. There's no anything except, if Yahweh said it, it's got to be good. That's all faith is. It's just believing it. That's all. And every time we wonder, it's the opposite of faith. as long as Yahweh is in something, and that should be the only question we have, as long as Yahweh is leading something, why would we need anything else? You know, and I'll tell you something. I thank Yahweh that he put this whole Bible together, and he gave us, you know, books, all these books in the Bibles, in the Torahs, in the prophets, and he tells us all the things. So he doesn't just say, like Abraham, get up and walk. He tells us why we have to do it. But you know something? He didn't have to do that. If we believe that he is, right? And he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, we don't need to know why. All we need to know is that he said it. And that's what the Shemitah is about. It's about building that relationship of not having the need to know the word why. It's just to know it that he said it. And think about this. Not only does he just leave. Now Yahweh tells him, not once, but more than once, I'm going to make you this great nation. And you are going to be the father of many nations. And your seed is going to be like the stars of the heaven. You know, and he's going to be a king. Kings and prophets are going to be. And all these things that he tells him. And then all of a sudden, he has no child. You know, we know the story. I'm not going to get into it. With what happened with Sarah giving the Hagar over and Ishmael being born, you know. Abraham went along with it. He's got to take responsibility for that. But at the same rate, he believes in Yahweh and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And then all of a sudden, Isaac is born. You know, I mean, at the time, he's 99 and she's 90. You know, I mean, it's a miracle that happens and Isaac is born. It's like, okay, why did I ever... You know, I didn't ever doubt, but Yahweh did it. And now all of a sudden he gets to be at the age of accountability. And we could tell from the words that are used here for youth and whatnot. He's probably about the age of 13 to 15 to 16. He's certainly, Isaac, is old enough that he could overpower, you know, a 110-year-old guy. So we see that Isaac is going along with it. He has trust in his father. But Yahweh comes and says something that is just, we never see anywhere else in the Bible. Come and take your child, your only child, your beloved one, and sacrifice him to me. And that's the word sacrifice, korban. What does it mean? It doesn't mean to give up. It means to draw closer to through relationship. And the interesting part is, not only does Abraham believe him, but we see it from the book of Hebrews, that Abraham was going to kill him. He had the knife there. He had no doubt. But he also had no doubt that the minute he killed him, Yahweh would raise him up. He knew he can't die. The boy can't die. Yahweh said, this boy is going to be this, this, and this. So I don't know why he wants me to put this knife through him. But I know once I do, Yahweh will raise him up. And there it is. There's the prototype of the whole story with Yeshua and Yahweh the Father and sacrificing him. And it was a beautiful, beautiful story. Now, Moses, he had another prototype. Moses didn't work out so good. Because Yahweh had a plan with Moses. Twice, he was going to have the water come out of the rock. The first time, he wanted him to hit the rock, which shows like, you know, the rod and your staff. You know, the rod is where you correct, you know. And the staff, you lead gently. The second time it was talk to the rock. What happened? Moses didn't. He got angry. He hit it. He blew the analogy. And he lost the promised land. You know, because he questioned Yahweh. He didn't just follow. You know, his anger got the better of him. But we see it here. What a beautiful story. And then Abraham rose up early in the morning. He saddles his donkey. He took two youth with him. He split wood for a burnt offering. He rose up and went to the place which Elohim had said. And on the third day, the day of resurrection, right, he lifts up his eyes. He saw the place from a distance. And Abraham said to his young men, you stay here with the donkey, and I and the boy will go over there that we may worship and may return to you. That we may worship, right? That's the word worship, to draw closer with Yahweh. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, the same way the crossbeam was laid on Yeshua, his son. He took the fire and the knife, and the two went together. And Isaac spoke to his father, Abraham, and said, my father. And he said, behold, I am here. And he said, I see the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, Elohim will see for himself. Elohim will see to it.
Yahweh Yireh.
So, a beautiful story, but this is the kind of faith that we need to be building, especially in the time we're living in now. You know, that we're not here to, we don't need the why, we don't need the question. All we need to know is Yahweh said it, and whatever I do, if I'm obedient to Him, I'm going to benefit from that. And that all comes down to the year release, the Shemitah. This is what it's all about. It's about building that relationship better than you ever had it before. It's about letting Yahweh into your life in ways you never did before. It's about releasing your pride, releasing your anger, releasing your self-righteousness. Releasing it all, letting it go, and trusting in Yahweh. Trusting in Yahweh to catch you. Exodus 14. And you know why it can happen in this year? Because Yahweh said it. It's the year of release. You know, if it can't happen in this year, it can't happen in any year. But this is it. There's something in this year that Yahweh gives us to allow it to happen if we just let it happen. Exodus 14, in verse 10. And this is when they're at the Red Sea and Pharaoh's coming. Pharaoh came near and the sons of Israel raised their eyes. And behold, the Egyptians were pulling up after them. And they were greatly afraid. And the sons of Israel cried to Yahweh. And they said to Moses, were there no graves in Egypt that you've taken us to die in the wilderness? What is this you have done to us to bring us out from Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to in Egypt, saying, go away from us and let us serve the Egyptians? Somewhere I don't remember finding that in my Bible. I remember them saying how hard it was and please deliver us. But all of a sudden now it's different. For it is good for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Take your stand and see the salvation, the Yeshua of Yahweh, which He will prepare for you today. For as you see the Egyptians today, you shall not continue to see them again forever. Yahweh will fight for you, and you be silent. If you look up that word, it literally means to overcome, to devour, to prevail, to overcome. Yahweh will overcome for you. And you know the time when you're going to overcome in your life? When you realize you can't. If you keep trying on your own and trying to do it on your own and keep going on your own. You know, like they say, the definition of insanity is when you do the same thing over and over again and you think you're going to get a different result. But that's what we do. Because we're trying to do it with our own strength. But when you get to that point where you realize, I can't. You can't. You're ready to give up. Father, that's it. I can't do it. And that's a good point to be at. Because now He can work with you. Because He can overcome. Because He can do it. Because He can release it. He can do anything in your life, but you have to let Him. Yahweh will overcome for you, and you be silent. Leviticus 25 in verse 10. Talking about the Jubilee year, and look what it says. It's very interesting how it says it in the Hebrew. And you shall make the 50th year holy 1 year, and you shall proclaim liberty in the land to those living in it. He shall be a Jubilee to you. Literally the pronoun there is He. He shall be a Jubilee to you, and you shall return every man to his possession. Yea, you shall turn back each to his family. I'm going to talk about that more tomorrow, but Yahweh is the Jubilee. Yeshua is the Jubilee. They're the ones that come and give back what was lost. They're the ones that redeem the land. They're the ones that forgive the sins. If we allow it. We have to allow it to happen. Romans 6:16. Romans 6:16. Says, do you not know to whom you present yourself as slaves to obedience? You are slaves to whom you obey, whether sin to death or obedience to righteousness. So, the key is, in life, and Yahweh made it this way, we do reap what we sow. So, if we really want to be released, you know, if we want to be a certain way, if we want to be overcomers, we got to live that lifestyle of overcomer. You are the servant to what you obey. And another part about the Shemitah year, it's not just a year to let go to Yahweh to be released. It's a year to show you what you need to be released from. And I say this, the harder that the Shemitah is for you to keep, what's it telling you? The more your relationship isn't right with Yahweh. And that was the big lesson in the last Shemitah, because we only found out weeks before the Shemitah started. I think it was 1 week, how to really keep it. And it was hard. It was very hard. And it showed me my life is not in Yahweh's judicial order. If I'm having problem doing this, then something is wrong. Something is wrong in my life and something is wrong with my relationship. Same with Shabbat. You're having problems keeping Shabbat. Then that shows something is wrong. You are the servant of what you obey. And I look now 7 years later, nothing is by coincidence. Yahweh was taking his people. He's been taking us out of the world, and he's very gentle. Praise Yahweh for it. You know, he's leading us in a very gentle path. He's not pulling us in one scoop because he knows we can't handle it. And that's why I say when you're dealing with a new believer, you know, the first time you talk to him, don't be telling him about the end of the world and Babylon and this and that, you know, because that guy's going to be running for the hills. Hit the core things. Tell him about salvation. Tell him about the freedom. Tell him about the joy that Yahweh wants in his life. Tell him about the relationship that he can have with the Creator who gave him. But praise Yahweh that he works with us that way. But remember, you are the servant. Do you not know that whom you present yourself as slaves for obedience, you are slaves to whom you obey, whether sin to death and obedience to righteousness. And I've said this many times, there is no such thing as freedom. There is only free choice. We get to choose. Do you want Yahweh as your Elohim, or do you want Satan as your Elohim? There's no other choice. Because this world we're living in now, Satan is the Elohim. He's the G-O-D of this world. And Yahweh is the Elohim of eternity. So we get to choose that. But you know what? We don't have eternal life inherent in us. You know, we're human beings. We're going to live. We're going to die. And we can't give eternal life to ourselves or anybody else. But you do have free choice. So you can choose whom you want to serve. And the Shemitah is really time for us to ask ourselves, who are we serving? Who are we serving? You know, if you sleep 8 hours a day, there's 16 hours in your day. What are you doing with those 16 hours? Who are you serving? Who is your master? You know, is it Yahweh? Or is it the G-O-D of this world? And you know, the people that my whole life I've talked to that have laughed, atheists that ha ha ha, and they laugh about this, and they say these things about us as believers, but you know what? During COVID, they were the scaredest people in the world. When they were locked in their house, when their freedoms were taken away, and they were scared to death, these people. Because they all thought they were free. And they realized real quick, they're not free. They're not free. And tomorrow, the same thing can happen. The government comes down and tells you, you can't leave your house. You know, I had to go on a phone and ask permission to go in my backyard. And I would say it in tongue in cheek, but I was trying to show my family, you know, when the ring would come back, you know, we'd look, the idol said, yes, we can go in the yard. The idol said we can go in the yard. How sick, right? But that's the world we're living in. And it's a reality. It happened all over the world. You know, you can't go to the airport, you can't go to the supermarket, you can't go to this. So all this idea of freedom in the world is a facade. Because in Satan's world, and you know what? If you look in history, you can see with the communisms, it happened in Korea, it happened in Vietnam, it happened in all these areas. That when the communists come in, they make it sound like they're bringing freedom and you have freedom. But what they're doing is only to get information about everybody. And then they get the Protestants to fight the Catholics. And then when the Catholics are gone, then the communists come in and they kill the Protestants. That's Satan's way. But in the end of the day, in Satan's world, there is no freedom. But in Yahweh's world, you will always have free choice. And that's the point. You know, we have a large prison ministry in the United States. We have hundreds and hundreds of prisoners. And I always share with them that you may be locked in a room, but being in prison is a state of mind. You know, Satan can't take your mind. He can't lock your mind away. You are free to worship Yahweh. And praise Yahweh for the ministry of Richard Wurmbrand, because he had some great, great things on that, because he went through it. He literally went through it and he lived it. So we have to make sure, who are we serving? This is the year to ask that. You are the servant of what you obey. John 8 and verse 31. John 8 and verse 31. Then Yeshua said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Wow. I've been reading that scripture all the time in the last couple of years, because when I look at all these people who are deceived, all these people who are taking a death shot, you know, that they're calling a vaccine, that's a death shot to you know, manipulate their DNA and destroy their immune system, and they all think that it's the right thing. They think it's right, but the truth will set you free. And that's why, you know, it's sad when you see believers falling for flat earth and, you know, the rotating Sabbath and all these other things that are such nonsense that you can disprove such easily, disprove it. And yet, even believers fall for some of these things. They fall for it. And even though you show it to them, you can prove it to them, you can scientifically prove it to them, you can biblically prove it to them, and they won't listen. The truth will set you free. And that's what we should be searching for. Nothing but the truth. And they answered him, "We are Abraham's seed, and we have never been servants, owing debt to anyone, never. How do you say you will become free?" How blinded were they, right? Yeshua answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone practicing sin is a servant of sin." We just read that. "But the servant does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed." So that's why this is the year of release. This is the year of freedom. You know, and as believers, we don't overcome everything at once. And there could be things in our life. I've talked to people that were believers, and sometimes maybe they were addicted to nicotine. And they tried their hardest, and they just couldn't overcome it. And then one day, it was just Yahweh allowed them. They put it down. They never looked at it again. So this is the year of release. We have to be looking what is in our life that we've allowed Satan to get a foothold in that we want to get rid of. It's a year of blessing. It's a year of being freed from anything that's not of Yahweh. This is the year, but we have to be putting in the time and the effort to be able to do that. John 6, verse 28-29. Then they said to him, "What may we do that we may do the works of Elohim?" So what is the works of Elohim? Yeshua answered and said to them, "This is the work of Elohim, that you believe into him whom that one sent." That you believe into him who that one sent, right? So do we understand that? Do we believe that when Yeshua comes back here to earth, and like we said, this is very soon, it's not in decades or centuries or millennia, but it's just in a few short years that he's going to be here. Do we believe that we will be part of his cabinet to this new government? And that we will be the leaders in this world? Look at the leaders in the world today. You know, you really have a lot of buffoons out there. You know, and I hate to have to use a word like that for a leader. But when you look at these people, like the leader of Canada and the leader of even United States, these people they're bad people. They're evil people. And they could care less how many people die. They could care less. They actually work on killing. The more people, the better. And when Yeshua returns, we are going to be the ones to pick up the pieces. Because there's going to be millions of people all over the world that are going to survive this, that are not believers. And when we get our papers, you know, "Sister Kay, we'd like you to go to China. You know, there's a million people that are left there, and they need help. You know, you need to go over here to South America. You need to go over here to wherever." And we're going to have to go there, and we're going to have to help these people. We're going to have to share with them that there's a new government that's on earth. We're going to have to bring the way of peace to these people. We're going to have to teach them how to grow, not with modified, you know, engineered food and all this other stuff. No more Monsanto and all that bad stuff that's going on. We're going to have to teach them how to get along with each other. And this is going to be our job. And that's why I say it starts with day one. There's not going to be a training program. The training is now. This is the training. This is what we are. We are called today ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are ambassadors. What does that mean? That means we are the representatives for the kingdom of Yahweh now. That's why we don't vote in human government. Why on earth would I want to vote for these guys? You know, especially when I already belong to a government. I am part of the kingdom of Yahweh. I am Yahweh's representative. And praise Yahweh, in 25 years, I've been able to live in Israel. I've been able to be sent by Yahweh around the world. I've been to the Knesset 25 times. I've been to all kinds of world leaders in world bodies. And that's the way I come. I come as Yahweh's ambassador. You know, I share it with wherever I go. That's the reason I'm being invited. And if they don't want that, they wouldn't invite me to it. But we have to be living that way in our life. We have to be living that way in our local areas. And we have to be embracing this calling. Because this is it. Like I said, this is why we're here. This is what it's about. And this is what the year release is about. It's about embracing your calling. It's about getting closer to Yahweh. And whatever foothold may have come in our life, we got to let it go. We have to let that be released at that time. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. He says, "Or do you not know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit in you, which you have from Elohim, and you are not of yourself? You were bought with a price. That glorify Elohim in your body and in your spirit, which belong to Elohim." So we were bought with a price. We don't belong to ourselves. We belong to the one, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, life for life. And Yeshua did no sin. He didn't have to come to the earth as a human being and suffer and be mocked and persecuted and die. He did it because if not, we would have had to die. Because that would not be justice to Yahweh just to forgive. There has to be a penalty paid for the sins. And each of us have committed sins worthy of death. Right? The law says you shall not murder. I say if you've gotten angry at your brother. So if any of us have ever gotten angry, you know, how many people do you have to murder to be called a murderer? One. How many times do you have to get angry to be called a murderer? One. So we have a death penalty, and that's the reason why Yeshua came to this earth, you know, to die for us. So we don't belong to ourselves anymore. You know, we belong to Him and praise Him for that. And we're part of His government cabinet. We will be, but we're also part of His wedding bridal, you know, party. So what a great thing. It's Yahweh's family reunion. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 and 4. I love this scripture. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 and 4. For though we do live in earthly life, yet we do not serve worldly things. For though we do live in earthly life, we are made of flesh and blood. We do not serve worldly things. Like I said, Satan is the God of this world. He's the prince of the power of the airwaves. And you get this from Yeshua and the first congregation. You actually get this from the beginning of the Bible, from Adam and Eve being in the Garden of Eden and other people being outside of Eden, that Yahweh has always had, because of the choices that mankind made, He has always had His people be set apart from the rest of the world. Because the rest of the world is not in His in His power. They're not, you know, in His judicial order. So, though we do live in earthly life, we don't serve worldly things. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but of the power of Yahweh to the demolition of strongholds. People sometimes get strongholds in their life. You know, sometimes it can be drugs and alcohol or anger or pride, you know, or covetedness. They get strongholds. And this is what it's about. It's about breaking down that Yahweh has the power to the demolition of these strongholds. And the year of release is about releasing these things. Whatever it is we need to release, we want to release it. You have to cease from the Laodicean attitude of thinking you can provide everything for yourself, right? That's why God, right, is who? The Babylonian deity of fortune. God is the Babylonian deity of fortune, and people prayed to that deity for luck. And that's why on the American dollar, which is the world reserve currency, what does it say? In God we trust. The deity of fortune. Not Yahweh, They never put in Yahweh we trust or Yeshua we trust, but they do trust in the Babylonian deity, God. Genesis 2, in verse 1. Because the Shemitah does fall under the Sabbath commandment, it's a subheading, I guess, for the Sabbath. It's a sabbatical year. And the heavens and the earth were finished and their host. And on the seventh day, Elohim completed his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because he rested from all his work on it which Elohim had created to make. Wow. So when we keep the Sabbath, we enter the rest of Yahweh. We pray every Sabbath day, or every, you know, before Sabbath starting, and we pray always, Yahweh, please allow us to enter your rest, because it pictures not only the Shemitah year, the seventh year rest also, but also the thousandth year, the 7,000 year, the millennial rest, which is the kingdom of Yahweh on the earth. So when we come to faith in Yeshua, we're also resting from sin, as we see in Hebrews 4 in verse 7. Hebrews 4 and verse 7. It says, he again marks out a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, according as he has said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Yehoshua, the son of Nun, had given them rest, then he would not have afterwards spoken about another day. It is therefore the duty of the people of Elohim to keep the Sabbath. For he who has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works, as Elohim did from his, right? So this is a year of ceasing from our own works. And that's why in biblical times, most people were farmers, which means they couldn't work in the Shemitah year. But the meaning behind that is we're to be ceasing from our works, our physical works, you know, our works of the flesh, our works of the world in here. For he who has entered into his own rest, he has ceased from his own works, as Elohim did to his. Therefore, let us strive to enter into that rest, that not anyone fall in the same example of disobedience. For the word of Yahweh is living and powerfully working, and sharper than every two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of both soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow and bones, and able to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and laid open to his eyes, with whom we are to answer. We have therefore a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua, the son of Elohim. Let us remain firm in his faith. So this is what the Shemitah is about. The Sabbath year is a year of rest to Yahweh. And like I said, many didn't work to dedicate the full year to Yahweh. And that's why Yeshua came when? In the sabbatical year. His ministry started in a sabbatical year, so the people would be available at that time to be able to hear the message and listen to it. Genesis 3. We know in the Garden of Eden, everything was perfect, right? Until mankind chose from his own free will to choose the Satan over Yahweh, to believe in Satan over Yahweh? And what was the penalty of that? Genesis 3 and verse 17. And he, Yahweh, said to the man, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it, the ground shall be cursed because of you. You shall eat of it in sorrow all the days of your life. And it shall bring forth thorns and thistles to you, and you shall eat the plant of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread until you return to the ground, for you have been taken out of it. for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. So it's kind of interesting, you know. In the Shemitah, we're resting the land, and we're the land. You know, the land is dirt, and we're dirt. We're made from dirt. So the part of the Shemitah and the part of being released is being released from this curse. It's about being released from this curse. That Yahweh will provide, He will bless us, and if we're faithful, wow, what does He say? He's going to provide for 3 years. Because people are saying, well, how are you going to survive? What are you going to eat? He says, don't worry. Leave it to me, and I'll give you for the 6th, the 7th, and the 8th. So if you trust in Him, the more that you are obedient during the Shemitah, when this is over, you are going to be blessed, and your land is going to be blessed, because this curse is going to be taken away. But you know what? If you do what Adam and Eve did, and if you, you know, don't listen completely, and you do some planting, or you do something here, or you do something that you know you're not supposed to, what are you doing? You're bringing the curse of Adam right back again. So how obedient you are in this land is going to depend on how much blessing you're going to get for the 7th, the 8th, and the 9th year. Excuse me. And it gets back to Abraham. Do we trust Him? Do we trust Yahweh? Listen, it's not easy. You know, we're humans. We got it. We're not what they call now, what's the new thing? Aeritarians? People that only, they don't eat or drink. They only have air. But we're humans. We need food and water, and Yahweh knows that. But man will not live by bread alone, but every word of the mouth of Yahweh. And the more that we trust in Him, the more He is going to provide for us. And I find it amazing. I'm excited because what I saw Lesh Shemitah in knowing that all I have to do is believe in Him. And like I always say, Yahweh can give 100 more fold than we can ever imagine if we just believe it. So I'm looking forward to it, you know, and I'm sharing with people. You know, like right now, you know, we have a little piece of land there and there's nothing growing out of it. But I know things are going to grow there, and I know things are going to grow that I didn't plant, you know. Things are going to grow up there because Yahweh's going to provide. He's going to provide all kinds of stuff and things we would have never even thought of. Leviticus 25 and 20 and 21, like I was just saying. And when they say, what will we eat in the 7th year? For lo, we may not sow, or we may not gather or increase. Then I have commanded my blessing on you in the 6th year, and it shall produce the increase for 3 years. And have you had that? Did you get? I know we did. We got so blessed this year, and like I said, because we were actually not only preparing in the 6th year, we were preparing in the 5th year. And maybe even part of the 4th year. But I know that already many of the things we bought before, now the price is tripled. So He's already tripled it. If I had to go out and buy the same amount of oil today that I bought before, it would be triple the price. So He's already given us triple. And I know we can, with what we have. I know, just like, you know, Elijah with the widow woman, you know, with the oil and the flour, that Yahweh can keep it going. You know, the more you pour out of there, it's just going to keep coming. It's not going to go empty. So I've already seen it, and the Shemitah is starting, that I know He's already blessed us for this. We have to trust in Yahweh for everything, just like the Israelites did for the manna every day. You know? Because they were the same thing. They're in the wilderness. There's not water, there's not food, but Yahweh provided, and we have to trust the same way. We can pick fruit daily. So, you know, nothing wrong with going out there and picking fruit. Or we had a blessing happen to us in on Yom Teruah, the first day of the Shemitah. Me and Mariah always take our little Sabbath walk, and we decided to go on a path we never went on before. And we found 40 to 50 orphan almond trees just out there, filled with almonds all over them. 40 to 50 of them. We're like, wow, that's going to last us for a long time, you know? So every day we'll go out there with our cup, we'll get a bunch of them, and almonds are healthy, right? So, you know, that's the very first day of the Shemitah. And it wasn't one tree. I mean, they're, you can't believe how many almonds, you know, are just gushing off the trees there. 40 to 50 of them. just there. So Yahweh is good, and Yahweh will provide. We just have to believe. The Shemitah is a time of transition. And you know, in Scripture, Abraham is called the first Hebrew. And what does that mean? Because the word Hebrew in Hebrew, the word Hebrew in Hebrew, means one who crosses over, to cross over. And Abraham did, you know, in two ways he did that. He crossed over, first of all, from Mesopotamia, you know, into the Promised Land, but also he crossed over from paganism into covenant with Yahweh. We know it talks about Abraham's father, Terah, was a pagan. So this is a year of crossing over. Crossing over from death to life when we become believers. And that's why I said it's a year of building up or it's a year of tearing down. It just depends. Depends on us, like Yom Teruah. It's a time of clamoring. It's a time of happiness and joy if you've been obedient and expecting your Messiah, or it's a time of terror for people who haven't. A time of building up and a time of tearing down. You know, we've had the Balfour Declaration to allow a state of Israel happened in the Shemitah year, but also the Holocaust to destroy the nation happened in the Shemitah year. World War I begins in the Shemitah. World War I ends in the Shemitah. World War II, the same thing. World War II starts in the Shemitah. World War II ends in the Shemitah. Yom Kippur War, Six-Day War, both of them started in the Shemitahs, ended in Shemitah. World Trade Center started to build it in the Shemitah, got torn down in the Shemitah. So we see it's a time of building up, it's a time of tearing down. And most recently, the Queen of England was coordinated 70 years ago in the Shemitah, and now just died right before the Shemitah is beginning. Revelation 13 in verse 16. Because the Shemitah is a time for preparation. It's a time for preparation. And praise Yahweh, you know, 7 years ago in the last Shemitah, like I said, we were just for the first time learning how to do it and whatnot. And what does Yahweh do back then? He just starts community living. You know, just the year before the Shemitah, he gave it to the congregation. We were just talking about it. And just started our first community, which was in Ethiopia, in South Sudan, you know, as the Shemitah was beginning. Now we have about 30 of them, maybe more. I'm finding out some I didn't even know about. We probably have more than 30 at this point. So it's a year of preparation for the wilderness, but now the wilderness is here. So from the last Shemitah, have you been preparing? And like I said, you have to go through the spiritual wilderness before you get to the physical wilderness. And if you don't go through the spiritual wilderness, you'll never get to the physical wilderness. So the Shemitah prepares us for that. And when we look at Revelation 13, 16 and 17, right? And the small and the great, the rich and the poor, the free man and the slaves, it causes that they give them all a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads, even that not any could buy or sell except the one having the mark or the name of the beast or the number of its name, right? And now we're living it. We're seeing. We just seen with the system they created, this QR system, the QR codes, they were doing that during COVID. They literally, can you imagine, what does COVID have to do with buying food? But it did. It had a lot to do with it because there's a police officer, you know, at the mall. You can't go in the mall if you don't have a vaccine. Police officer at the door of the food store, the supermarket. You can't go in the supermarket and buy food. What do you mean I can't buy? You can't buy food. Get the vaccine. Have your QR code. They don't want to hear nothing. But I have four babies. Don't make a difference. Let them starve to death. You can't buy and sell, right? Without the mark. So is the Shemitah much different when the people are saying, we just read in Leviticus 20, what will we eat? How will we do this, right? And what does he say? Trust in me. Prepare in the 6th year and I'll provide 6, 7, and 8. Isn't it interesting? He'll provide for 3 years. How long is the reign of the beast power? 42 months, 3.5 years. So they definitely overlap each other, right? And that's my question. I said it to the people last year and I say it more this year. if you are having a problem with Shemitah, how will you ever survive the mark of the beast? Because with Shemitah, we were allowed to prepare. We were allowed to go out and buy. You know? And Shemitah, you could still eat a lot of foods that aren't vegetables, even if you didn't prepare. You know, there's all kinds of cheese and curds and milk and meat and all other kinds of things, right? That have nothing to do with Shemitah anyway. But last time, there were people that were like as if they were tortured because they had to keep the Shemitah. Shemitah is a blessing. It's a year of release, you know. It's only a year of bondage if you're part of the world. And the Shemitah should show you, if you're having a problem keeping it, it's showing you there has to be changes made in your life. You know, like I said, emotions. Emotions have a purpose. You want to be emotionally mature because you don't want your emotions to be running your life, but there's a purpose. So when I'm feeling angry, it's showing me a change has to happen. When I'm feeling sad or feeling whatever, emotions are trigger points to show you. To show you that something is happening or something needs to be changed. And it's the same with the Shemitah year. So if you can't make it through a Shemitah, how will you ever survive that? And I know the answer to some, because some people that were, some whole Sabbath-keeping organizations took the vaccine. They took it. And, you know, let's forget all this other stuff with DNA and all the other stuff. One thing, and it's a fact, it's known, it's provable, Pfizer has admitted it, they have aborted baby fetal cells that they used to make the vaccine. That's enough for me to say, forget it. I don't care if the fetal cells are from 1972, or I don't care if they're from the 1800s, or I don't care if they're from, 741 BC. If they killed a baby to use the fetal cells, I don't care which generation it is, I want nothing to do with that. And any believer shouldn't. How can a believer take something that the way that they made this is used from aborted fetal cells? It's absolutely insane. But yet some did, because they didn't want to lose their job. So that's the easy answer. Hey, I got an easy answer. I'll just take it. Take the mark. And yet we see in the very next chapter, everyone that takes the mark goes to the lake of fire. So this is it. We're in that valley of decision. And I think that this Shemitah, from everything I've seen so far, I think is going to be more a blessing to the people of Yahweh than anything in their life. Because I've seen just about everybody I know has prepared, they've embraced it, they're looking forward to it. And go that extra mile though. Go that extra mile. Don't think of it just from the physical standpoint. Like I said, from the spiritual standpoint. Whatever your Bible study is every day, try to double it. Whatever your prayer time is every day, try to double it. Build your relationship with Yahweh in this year. And whatever you put in, He will give you back. He says at least threefold. I say tenfold. Because I know it. I know that Yahweh, you can never outgive Him, and He will give you tenfold for whatever you're trying to do. But I wonder, and it makes me sad, because now that we've seen it with COVID, it really makes me sad when I read this with the Mark of the Beast, because I understand, that many Sabbath keepers, even people that keep the name Yahweh, many of them are going to take it. They will. Because if you don't have faith, you will not starve to death. That's why I say, if you got any doubt over doctrine, over anything, you better get rid of that doubt, because you will not die over a doubt. And if they're coming for you to put you in prison or anything else, you will not die over a doubt. You can't have doubt. Doubt is the opposite of faith. It is the cancer of faith. You can't have any doubt in your life. And if you have doubt on anything, you got to solve it. You got to get rid of it. And you know how I get rid of it? Because I don't have any doubt. The way I keep doubt out of my life is, I focus on the things I know, not the things I don't know. You know, so I'm not Yahweh. I don't know how He existed forever. I don't know the creation this. I don't know all of these wild questions people want to ask. But you know what I know? I know that His word is true. And I know that every single word of this I can believe, because He's already done it. Fulfilled prophecy. Things that He said hundreds of years and thousands of years happened exactly like He said it. And we're proof of that in our generation. Everything He said that we're going through, He predicted it. You know, Israel being a nation after 2,520 years. A third of the prophecies for that have already been fulfilled. A third of them have already been fulfilled. You know, even when He talks about water coming out of the desert, right? And all of a sudden in Israel, in the desert, they didn't know it, there's artesian wells under there. And about 20 years ago, these artesian wells are popping up. Water coming from the desert is exactly like Yahweh said. And now there's full communities with green grass growing in the desert. So focus on what you know, not what you don't know. Don't let Satan use people to put doubts in your mind. Because as long as Yahweh exists, everything else will be taken care of, right? As long as Yeshua was raised on that third day, as a human being, he died, and now he's alive, and now he's sitting right here in the Father, I got nothing to worry about. Because no matter what happens to me in this life, the minute I close my eyes, the next waking moment, I'm going to be alive in this kingdom forever. You got to focus on what you know, not what you don't know. Don't let Satan put those doubts in your life. Jeremiah 25, in verse 11 through 13, because another interesting thing with this year, and again, I'm not a prophet. Sometimes people have called me a false prophet. I said, it's kind of hard since I'm not a prophet. You got to be a prophet to be a false prophet. But I say, like this year, will this be the year that Babylon falls? I'm just asking a question. I'm not prophesying. I'm not saying, thus saith Yahweh, or Yahweh told me this. But boy, when I look at what's going on in that country, I know it can't be too far away. But look at what it says right here. And this whole land, Jeremiah 25 in verse 11, shall be a waste and a horror, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. I find it kind of interesting that it was in 1952 that the dollar became the world reserve currency of the world, and here we are exactly 70 years later. So we will see. And it shall be when 70 years are fulfilled, according to the mouth of Yahweh, I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation and the land of the Chaldeans for their iniquity, that says Yahweh, and I will make it everlasting ruins. And I will bring on that land all my words which I have spoken against it, all that is written in this book which Jeremiah prophesied against all those nations. So just like this summer when I was sharing with people that I said, I can pretty much almost guarantee you Queen Elizabeth will not be on the throne after the Shemitah year is fulfilled. Now again, I wasn't prophesying, but looking at Yahweh's patterns of seven, and that being her 70th year, you know, beside being 96 years old, so you don't have to be a prophet to figure that out. But I didn't know whether she'd die or not. But in my mind, I'm thinking she's probably not going to be there another seven. So one way or another, she won't be there at the end of the Shemitah. She'll either abdicate or die, and she did. It's not being a prophet, it's just looking at the word of Yahweh. And the same thing here with Babylon, 70 years are given. It's got to end one way or another. And there's chaos in that place. And the worst part about it is the chaos is from within. Their own government, their own person. And I will not call him the president because I don't believe he is. They stole the election. They've overtaken the government. They're working with the Chinese. They admitted at least a third of the American government are Chinese operatives. So, if Babylon goes, then you could pretty much count we're going into the last 7 years. Because that's the next big thing to happen, world war and Babylon falling. You know? And like we were talking the other day, you know, if certain prophetic things don't happen within 2-3 years, then there's probably another seven left. So Yahweh gives us these things so that we can plan, so that we can have foresight for the future. But it is going to happen. You know, as well, if it says it on the words of these pages, just like every other thing that Yahweh said will happen, it will happen. And there's a lot of times that people don't want it to happen, I think just because they're afraid. Because my mom was like that. My mom was a good lady, you know. She believed in the Bible, but she wasn't a believer like us. And when I would share these things with her, and she'd say, well, I believe you. I know it. And she even say, I believe America's Babylon, but I don't believe it's going to happen in my lifetime. And I say, well, why not? Because she's scared. That's the only, she had no reason for it, you know. But she did pass away, so she was right there. I would think about it later. And I say, well, Mom, but she was a good lady. And I think Yahweh spared her. But sometimes just out of fear, it's not that people are saying this because of truth or because of evidence. It's just fear. And yet, as the people of Yahweh, we don't have to have any fear. We have anticipation. You know, ours is anticipation for his kingdom to come. And that kingdom will be forever. You know, and this kingdom, that's one thing Americans don't see, that even in a physical sense, every empire comes and goes. The Babylonian Empire isn't here, the Assyrian Empire, the Egyptian Empire, You know, the Greek Empire, the Roman Empire, they all come and go. But I think people, even in the news, they're understanding that one way or another, the end time Babylonian American Empire is over. You know, they're on the last stages of it, and it's up to Yahweh when that last nail in the coffin will come. But another thing to think about, and the last thing I want to go over here, is Matthew 13. Because like we said, it's a year of building up, it's a year of tearing down. And for us as the people of Yahweh, I believe that this year is going to be a major year, that Yahweh has already started separating the wheat from the chaff. Matthew 13 and verse 24. He put before them another parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is compared to a man sowing good seed in his field. But while the men were sleeping, an enemy came and sowed tares in the midst of the wheat and went away. And when the blades sprouted and produced fruit, then the tare also appeared. In coming there, the slaves of the housemaster said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? From them, where does it have the tares?' And they said, 'A man, an enemy, did this.' And the slave said to him, 'Do you desire then that going we ought to gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest gathering the tares, you should uproot the wheat also. Allow both to grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather the tares and bind them into the bundles to burn, but gather the wheat into my granary.'" Drop down to verse 36. It tells the explanation. "Then sending away the crowds, Yeshua came into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' And answering, he said to them, 'The one sowing the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the cherubs are the reapers. Then as the tares are gathered and are consumed in the fire, so it will be in the completion of this age. The Son of Man will send forth his cherubs, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who practice lawlessness." And what does false Christianity have you believe? The ones who are being gathered up are being raptured. And yet here it says the total opposite. They're being gathered to the lake of fire. "And they will throw them into the furnace of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine out like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The ones having ears to hear, let them hear." That's the key. Do we have ears to hear? The Shemitah is a time of building up. It's a time of tearing down. And I believe that because of where we are in prophecy, that this really is going to be a year of Yahweh separation of the wheat from the chaff. The last scripture is Romans 4 and verse 3. Romans 4 and verse 3. "For what does the scripture say? And Abraham believed Yahweh, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now to the one working, the reward is not counted according to grace, but according to a debt. But to the one not working, but believing on him, justifying sinners, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as also David says of the blessedness of the man to whom Elohim counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose sins are forgiven, and those whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom Yahweh will in no way charge sin." So it is the year of release. It's the year of, even if there's nothing big in our life that we have to release, it's a year of embracing our grace. It's embracing of what has been released by Yeshua in the past. And it's a year of drawing closer to him. So may we all take this year most seriously. May we give it our full effort to draw close to Yahweh, to take the time that we need and build our relationship with him for Yahweh's year of release. Yahweh bless. Amen.